Before I forget it, I'd like to wish you the best Thanksgiving to have with your loved ones, friends, whatever you're going to get together. And I know that to us, Thanksgiving means more than turkey and dressing. I know that means what God has done for us, right? Just look at your family, look at the children, how the Lord kept them, and it's a privilege to be able to get together and say, praise the Lord for this meal. And I just love the Lord. Always remember the Lord in all the things, whatever you do. Just remember Him. And He said, if you put Him first, He'll never leave you, neither forsake you. When you study the Scriptures, and reminds me, some people, I don't know the people, but I imagine so. You go to the Indian reservation up there or somewhere, and you ask an old Indian there, says, have you seen the ocean? He says, no, he doesn't believe anything. I remember I was reading an article, and they went up to the moon. He says, don't believe this stuff. That's the press. Don't believe what they tell you. You know, the men were in the moon, he couldn't believe it. It's like you go down to San Diego or L.A. or somewhere and get a bucket of water from the ocean and you bring it to him and he says, here's the ocean, you know. He looks at it, he tastes it, salty water. Somebody put salt in the bucket, you know, or something. So often we try to express ourselves about the Word of God and say what we know, and we know so little. And the more you try to realize how to study more, the more you realize you know less and less and less until you realize you're nothing. Who can understand the depths of the ocean? Who can see under the water what's going on, life and everything, plants, and God has made all of them, right? And you cannot describe it. The same thing with the Word of God. All of us, we go from time to time in a periods of time that we have to repent before the Lord. You agree with that? Sometimes it's not because probably we haven't done anything that day or that hour, but sometimes because God pours His Spirit upon us and see who we are and we say, is that me? You know? And It's such a blessing to know that God, in His Word, He tells us so much about repentance and what to do and what not to do. And I was reading a verse that really I don't understand the depths of it, but I was reading it. When Paul is speaking, he says, moreover, he says, the law entered that the offense might abound. Remember, it gives you the law to know more. And then he says this, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Can you imagine how, no matter how much you have the revelation of who you are, the grace of God comes down, and He doesn't condemn you because you don't know, but grace brings you up higher. That's why we say we're saved by grace. That verse is in Romans 5:20. If you want to write it down when you go home to read it, it's an outstanding verse. And there are some things in the Scripture, like I say, and some things I'm going to get into that in a way I don't understand, but in another way it's in the Word of God, but we're supposed to talk about it. We live in a time, almost again, of Psalm 106, Psalms 106, and remember, starting Sunday, we took it and said it would be three parts from 1 to 5. It's a brief introduction, the setting forth of the duty to praise God, we said Sunday. And now we come to the point, the history of the nation of Israel and a confession of their sins and the periods of history that they were crossing. And the last part starts from the 43rd verse to 48. It's a prayer that we see that God often helped Israel. And I hope that will help us. When we look at the sixth verse, after we finished Psalm 106, 5, we finished the fifth verse, the sixth verse starts very straight. It says this, we have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we have done wickedly. This is pretty straight, isn't it? Huh? But I'm thankful to the Lord. And you're going to see in a few minutes why the Word of God is like that, because there's grace and mercy all the time. But we don't want to face really the grace of God sometimes, because we're saying, well, is that for me? Is it really? And so on. But God hasn't changed. He's the same always. And here we read that the psalmist says, we have seen with our fathers. We know that probably the fathers were dead. But the sin is with our fathers. Now, I know in the New Testament, the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin, and when the Holy Ghost comes, He erases everything. It seals us by the Holy Ghost. That's a sealing. And I cannot go back to say, my grand-grand-grandfather was like that. I cannot say that, because the Holy Ghost wipes everything out under the new covenant of the cross. I know that. But here, there was a prayer about we have seen with our fathers. And we know the Scripture speaks about the sins of the fathers are punishing the children many times. And we say, how come the sins of Ahab now is going to fall to his son because Ahab repented? I mean, who gives him the right to repent? And if you start examining, you realize that Ahab didn't really repent. God gave him repentance to respond to it. Because no man can repent. It's the plan of God. And quite often, we look at in a medical profession and you sit down and the doctor tells you, tell me about your father and your grandfather and so on. And they find out that hereditary is we inherit a lot of diseases, right? It's there. And then you go to a psychiatrist and say, tell me about your mother, about your father. What did they do? And did you go to school? Where did you grow up? And all this history. And then he says, because this happened, probably he's moving to that direction, the child. Brother Bram spoke about many times about, he says, look at the children. Look at what's happening. He says, if you trace back, their daddies, their mothers were like that. So going to a generation, he says, nothing but illegitimate born kids. So how much do I inherit? What I'm supposed to be doing? And I like to go back to the Old Testament because the grace of God permitted me and you to know that the blood of Christ cleanses from all sins. That includes my father's sins and my sins. That is the new covenant. So don't blame your daddy. It's true. We can walk like a father. We can act like a father. We can have the temper of the mother. We can cuss like the mother and everything else. But when we come to Christ, it's another covenant. The blood of Christ comes and cleanses us. Now, it's a great privilege to know. Because now the confession comes here. And why the confession? Why all these things happen? And the confession says, we have seen with our fathers. In other words, the sins of the fathers. It's not because the fathers are dead, we're going to pray now to bring them from sin to eternity. Not at all. He says, listen to what he says. We have seen with the fathers. In other words, that hereditary thing still on Israel now. And then he continues and he says this. He says, we have committed iniquity. Iniquity is anomia, which is the transgression of the law of God. God said certain things to do to Israel. They didn't do it. They didn't care about things. But I like that confession because any time that Israel or any time other man, God gave them the desire to confess that they are sinners before God, God make always a provision to redeem them. But we're so proud. We don't want to say, Lord, forgive me. So now we see that Israel, God instructed them back in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus. And we see in the book of Leviticus, if you go with me, the 26th chapter, Leviticus 26, starting from the 40th verse. God starts speaking to Israel, and look how beautiful is the process of repentance. He says, if they shall confess their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. You see, now we are approaching repentance. Repentance requires you don't take anything. You say, well, they did it. I don't care about it. You know, anything that falls upon you, you're responsible to ask for God to forgive you. And I like what David said. That verse has stuck with me for weeks now. Against thee, Lord, I have sinned, only thee. Take the blame about it. He says, Lord, I'm sitting right here. I have nothing to blame but just me. You know, there's a relief on that. So, you know, the whole world disappears and you know you deal with mercy. Because you see, you scramble everything and take a position that if you're God for a minute, somebody comes and tells you, Lord, I didn't do that. Brian Duffy caused me to do that. And listen, Polly, and this and that. And everything, by the time you get through, you never really confess repentance. You blame everybody else, right? You ask for excuses. And what is it? It's self-righteousness. And doesn't work. But it's so good to just go and kneel down at your bedroom. Close the door. Say, Lord, I don't know. I feel heavy. Probably I'm supposed to pray. But I like to say whatever. If it's me, against thee I have sinned, Lord, and thee only. In other words, let's leave the rest of the people out, right? I'm not the mediator. I can pray for an intercessory prayer, but I don't want them to get the blame. It's me. With other words, I don't ask self-righteousness because I blame somebody else to be goody-goody with you or something. Against thee I have sinned, Lord. But it's not only that. He says, but if they confess their iniquity, they are transgressors. Transgressions. Lord, I have failed you. Lord, I'm no good. Lord, I'm a liar. Lord, I have a temper. Lord, I do this. Lord, I do that. If you confess it to him. And then the next step, you remember, there's things here in the Old Testament that we see the scripture says, and the iniquity of their fathers. Why? The law of God in the Old Testament is the sins of the parents fall to the children. With other words, Lord, I pray for my sins and everything that comes to me, by the way. And I like this kind of repentance prayer. You say, Lord, I know I'm guilty, but I don't have any excuse about my weakness and so on. He did it, I inherit that, and my temper I inherit from my mother. You see in the New Testament, but look sometimes some of the tapes Brother Brian Mother did discernment, said one time to a lady in Long Beach. I don't remember the tape. He said to her sister, he says, that's your makeup. He says, sometimes she says, I pray for a man, and I see, he says, what he got in him was in the grandfather, grand-grandfather, grand-grandfather, and come to him. He says, that's your makeup. You're like that. So when you get the Holy Ghost, everything is removed. He took one time, told a German, a lady about his, the German descent. He says, you're German. He says, you're stubborn. Because that's the national spirit of Germany. And he said, now, the king has to, the son has to pray and get the Holy Ghost. So he's not a German anymore. That spirit is not in him. He's a Christian. I like that kind of a thing. Don't you know that you deal with God? Because for God so loved the world, truly. That he gave his only begotten son, truly. That whosoever, no group, it's me. So I'm just centering now myself. And God said this, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers. Who is confessing? The children about their fathers. And that's why we're going to see in Psalm 106 in later services that here there were the children came down and here the fathers make a mess. Murmur, fuss, argue, quarrel, everything else happened to them. And God scattered them in every nation. but the scriptures are also in Zechariah and so on, that God never forgot them. God, he said, I remember my covenant. And God has a covenant with you. And he expects from me and you to approach him and says, Lord, I have failed. That's how we start. And after you see Brother Gordon praying, he says, Lord, forgive us for our sins. And if it wasn't for your grace, you know, we'd be wiped out. That's true. So why to brag about it? There's nothing to brag about it. You say, I feel in my heart, nothing condemns me. You just make a step closer to God and you find out how many things you got to get rid of. Correct? Don't brag in the past. But when you grow, you expect to see you a grown up man in the Lord. And by grace you are saved, the grace will abound. Why? The revelation of the law and who you are comes stronger and stronger and stronger. By the time you feel, Lord, is that me? How many of us can say we're totally dead to ourselves? We're not. Paul says, I die daily. It's a progressive work, right? I die daily. But look now, after that, he says, with their trespass, which they trespassed against me. God said to them to do that. God has a reason for these things. That's why it's important for us to see what God speaks and says, Lord, I want to do the same thing. What happened then? Listen to this. And that also, he says, they have walked contrary unto me. Did you see how God puts it? They, not you, they have walked no good in the front of me. God has done so much, delivered them out of Egypt. The only thing they knew, have revival time. Clap their hands, beat the tambourine. A few days later, they forgot God again. Right from the beginning, start again. Let's don't forget God. Let's don't forget what he has done for us. Let's don't just go in and leave with yesterday's religion or yesterday's experience. That's wonderful. But you see, that's step number three, let's say. Let's go to step number four and keep on moving to the holiness of God. And God makes a provision to the people of Israel. God makes a provision for you and I in the New Testament. We're going to see later on in the study. And God now said to them this, that also, he says, have walked, he says, contrary unto them and have brought them into the land and have brought them unto the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humble, listen to this now, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity. It's true, we have grace. But sometimes God wants to take the belt and the rod, give us a spank about that. Do you know? He's whom I love, I rebuke and chasten. And that was mastigono. It's the leather strap that you beat hard, the slave, the prisoner. The people need to be beat up sometimes. If they don't beat, they get beat up. So God says there, are you willing to accept the punishment of your and my iniquity? You know what we say? We walk, we fail. It's now, I know I failed. I have to go to the Lord. And we go to the Lord. Lord, forgive me. Thank you for forgiving me. Amen. But you see, we like to cover up stuff. We haven't learned any lesson. We're going to do the same thing over and over and over again. Are you willing to pay the punishment of that? Are you willing to be a child of God? To be rebuked and chastened? Are you willing to do what Greg says, go and get the belt, go and get the stick and come over here, I want to beat you up? Are you willing to say that? Oh, he died for us, so I know that, but we're learning lessons. We grow in the Lord. How long? Paul says, he looks at Romans 6 and he says, can we say that the gift of grace may abound so iniquity will abound also? God forbid. What is it? He's got to move one step higher. And the hindrance is in man's heart. In man's heart says this, Lord, I want your grace. I accept that. I know I walk bad and so on. But please, Lord, let's remove that word. Accept the punishment of my iniquities. I remember the story that Brother Bram spoke about. When they asked where is Brother Branham, he said to his wife, Tell them I'm not here. And he went in the back of the house. And then he went over and prayed. He was crying. He said, Lord, I know I'm going to pay for my iniquity again. You know, we'll brush things up. And this creates a distance between us and the Lord sometimes. But if we start facing it, I believe we will be more serious and more fearful of what we say and what we do. Everything's a big joke. Lord, by grace and praise the Lord. Do anything you want. Have a license. Take somebody today and say to him, if you do that, you go to jail. So what? They'll take me in. They'll get me out right away. I'm under 18. Right? Tell him they're going to put you in jail. I don't care if you're 5 years old. And they're going to beat you up. You see if he's going to do it again. He won't. But the law, like one time Paul Harvey said, the first thing that people, immigrants come to this country, the first thing they learn, the law doesn't mean what it says. And everybody does their thing. And the guilty is innocent and the innocent is guilty. That's how it goes. Last week, Saturday, the phone ring again. It says, this is the big brother. He says, when are you going to make a decision about taking the child? He says, no, ma'am. He said to me, why? He says, I have no law to protect me. If something happened to the child, or something the child says, I'm guilty on everything. No law to protect me. I said, do you know any laws to protect me? He says, no, sir, you're right. Thank you. Why? Because we live in this society now. We live in a time that we should say, Lord, teach me, Lord. Teach me to wait. Teach me to learn, Lord. I haven't learned the lesson. It seems to me that all the time, like a little noddling, you know, supposed to study. A daddy or mother says, stay there and study, you know. Can I drink some water? By the time the water comes, can I do this? Can I do this? Always busy. But let's sometimes say this. You're not going to eat. You're not going to go out nowhere until you do this. Then we know we're going to do it. Because we put ourselves under subjection to an authority. And we have to put under subjection ourselves to the Word of God. The more we water down repentance, the worse it gets for all of us. And here he says this. He says, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity. He said to Israel, follow me. Now you go through the previous portion of the scripture, and you find out a lot of things were happening there. Verse 6 to 12, they were in Egypt, and so on. And they make a mess. But now, if you continue, you'll find out, verses 16 to 17, they were the sword, they by the knife, they were cut. Continue on, or the verse 19 to 20, there was famine there. They were hungry. Verse 22, wild animals got them. Verse 25, plagues. But God was with them, was watching them. God never delivered them out of Egypt just to show that he can make a miracle and divide the sea. He wants to show them his love. He says, look, I love you. You know, I love you. And God gave them everything he was supposed to do for them. It reminds me of a broken-hearted mother or a father that they don't eat. They save every penny they got to buy a little gift for the little child. The child takes, throws it in the floor. Don't care. That's what it is. So God now, and if you want to read a condensed form of that, go to Ezekiel 14:21. All the plagues are in one verse right there, Ezekiel 14:21. So now he starts speaking, and he said to them, now look, Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, will I remember. And I will remember, he says, the land. You see, the covenant is not dead. God make a covenant with Abraham about the seed of Abraham shall possess the gates of the enemy. Christ came, possessed the gates of the enemy. We trespass. God gives the formula, repent. The covenant is still there. Then I will remember it. It's right there. So what takes to restore yourself to God? Back to repentance. This is, Lord, what lesson you want me to learn now? What is it? What is it all about? Because, you see, it's an easy way out. Us human beings always like to take the easy way out. Listen, if we know that there's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you ask yourself, where can I get wisdom? The fear of the Lord, number one. If you try to steal something, and all of a sudden, you start thinking about God. You say, nobody sees me, but I got to face God. I break my relation for steal that, right? And not only that, I'm going to pay a price, more than the price that I'm stealing, correct? Then you go back and you say, Lord, be merciful to me and help me. But you know, sometimes we'll grab, I'm illustrating, okay? We steal something, oh, praise the Lord, I feel bad about it, next day I'm okay. Grab another thing, I feel all right now. But God speaks and he says, now listen. With the grace is there. Covenant, the covenant is there. I make with covenant my covenants, and I will not forget them. Then I will remember them. The whole world can pass away. God remembers you. No matter how low you feel you are, God looks at you. Will he reject you? No. Is it possible sometimes? All our prayer requests? All our problems sometimes? I says, is it possible? I don't say that's what it is. That sometimes we accumulate a lot of things against us and don't realize that we accumulate them. And keep on accumulating them. Keep on accumulating them. By the time we got through, he says, oh, I can't take it. I'm so frustrated. You see, I illustrate many times like you load a donkey. Let's say Brother Craig and I have a donkey. We'll go there. Have a pile of wheat. Small sacks. We'll put in one more sack next to another, another, another. By the time, the donkey is so loaded, he can't even move. Goes like that. If we load any more, he collapse, right? He says, look at me. What am I supposed to do? All this weight, this and this and this and this and this problem. Start with one piece at a time. Say, Lord, this has to go. Lord, this has to go. And then you find out the donkey start walking. Correct? Why? Because we load it with little foxes that destroys the vine and we don't realize it. We look at the big, big things and sometimes we don't look at the little things, what they are doing to us. And we get too familiar with ourselves and God. And keep on getting more familiar. What else do you want that God gave you right now? God protect you? God, I was reading a book about depression, mental cases. And it says that the doctors can find out that the chemistry of the brain. And I was reading about the chemistry of the brain. And you know what? Nobody can figure out what it is, but they know it's there something. And they say, now, because the doctors don't want to spend any more too much time with a patient, what they do, they give him a pill. And the person never solves the problem because it's a spiritual problem. You know that? To contact the brain of a man, according to the scriptures, it's spiritual. So what they do, they give him a pill for depression. That person takes the pill of depression, and what happened? Relies on that pill, right? The problem has never been solved. Still there. How do you solve it? The next prescription. Then gets worse. Stronger drugs and so on. Then lock them up in a mental institution. What do you have sold? Nothing yet. So I was reading about that. I says, look, what provision God is made for us? Somebody to pray for me and to pray for you. Just the idea that you know that people pray for you and for me, we should be thankful to God and shout day and night. So now God says, if you do these things, I will remember my covenant. And I was thinking about Thanksgiving. We had the lamb. We have everything was good. There were forefathers and so on. God brought us to freedom and so on. But the basis of Thanksgiving was the freedom of religion, that we escaped from Europe. That's how this country was founded. We escaped from Europe. Why? There was Roman persecution there. And we came here, and God blessed this land. Do you know that? God blessed the land. Why? They were Christians. They stood for something. Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, all these people knew where to stand. And they put God first. They knew how to pray and so on. What do you think tomorrow is going to happen? The turkey's there. No prayer. Sometimes everybody start eating, drinking. Next, sit next to the next project, sit in the front of a TV, watch the ball game. That's Thanksgiving. But God ordained you and me to say, Lord, thank you. How can you say thank you? You can say to thank you, Lord, forgive us from our iniquities. You have done so much for us. You have done everything for us. And we don't even know what you have done. So God now is speaking, and he says now, and the land also shall be left, he says, of them, and shall enjoy, he says, their Sabbaths, her Sabbaths. God ordained the land to be free after so many years that year. God has a plan for that. You know, I look, sometimes you go, you don't know what to eat. You eat meat, it's not good. You eat chicken, and you're wondering what's in it. Why? The poor chicken, they put them under the light day and night to lay eggs. And they pass that cross line there that the government says you can't do. Then they kill the chickens and all of a sudden it's available, you know, for the restaurants. But you see, you let the land take care of its own. There was an article in the paper yesterday about poison and pesticides in the food. And what do they do to us? And you look at all these things, God never ordained to be like that. He ordained to have some rest there. He says, look, he says, you put more pesticides, more of this to produce more, have 3-4 crops a year, so on. God says, stop it. If you straight up, if your repentance takes place, then the land will take care of it because you respect what I have made. But we don't respect what God has made because you know why? We don't respect ourselves before God. Then what do? Vitamins. Vitamins this. Vitamins that. You say, well, this is going to stop anyway. By the time we finish with the food, it's polluted. Now the vitamins are polluted and we don't know where to go next. So God said this. He says, this, the land also, he says, be left of them and shall enjoy her Sabbaths. It's like the land is speaking to you. And just leave me alone. But he says, no, I'm not going to leave you alone. It's my property. I'll do anything I want to do with you. I'm going to plow it. And I don't care what God says. That's what we say to God. You see how the transgressions start following with Israel? And we live in a society, and I have to admit with all my heart. I don't know sometimes households, how they can make it with one person working. Today, the society is two people working. That's what it is. You can't even send the kids to school. I mean, how would you afford $350 a credit in some of the universities? $350 per credit to go to university. How can you afford to do anything today? Try to buy some clothes, to fix your automobile, to do this and that, to find out what's happening. Why? Satan's kingdom is taking over. That pushes everybody out of the house from where they belong. And God said this. Listen to this. Why he says he lies the desolate, he says without them. They try to plan, nothing comes through. A true illustration of what Psalm 106 says, if you read that chapter here very closely, that's Leviticus 26, and also you go to Deuteronomy 28, you'll find out what God speaks about repentance. No, it's not the birds. It's not the land. It's not the church. It's me and you. That great statement of the man after God's own heart, Lord, against thee I have sinned only thee. And he says, I tell you this, so we don't confuse the judgment. He says, do the judgment, I'm the guilty one, I'm standing here. How would you like to appear before a judge today? And the judge looks at you, says, is that your name? Yes. He says, did you do it? Yes, sir, the whole thing. But God has grace, right? And grace takes over and restores you back to him. Do you have anything to say? Anything why or excuses? I have no excuses. He says, you have no excuses? He says, you know what the law says and so on? I have no excuses, sir. The only thing I say is that I have no excuses and I did it. And I'm willing to accept the punishment of my transgression. And you know what happened? Jesus comes and says, you're free. Because I paid at Calvary. We just seems to me the relation between me, probably you, and God is so watered down. It's time to just pick up the pieces and put it together. Say, Lord, against thee I have sinned. And whatever, if I inherit anything, the temper, the so on, you know, stubborn is like witchcraft, the scripture speaks. If that's hereditary, I don't know what it is. But Lord, against the action, give me the Holy Ghost and remove everything out of me so that I can enjoy my relation with you. Some of these psalms, they have meaning. Did you see how Psalm 106:6 speaks about against thee who have sinned and our fathers? You see that? Do you see, you go back there? What says, and they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers. Goes on and on and on. Now, when you go home, read Daniel, the 9th chapter, and Nehemiah, the 1st chapter, and in that portion, you find out powerless. You talk about strong repentance. Daniel's 9 has the whole thing. The most striking place of humble confession and prayer and repentance is on Daniel there. 9. And God never, let me say this, God never had his people that they approach him with true repentance and he didn't honor it. And listen, after they turned their backs, after he gave them Ezekiel in Babylon, after all these things that happened, God's going to come back and pick up his elected Jews. He scattered them all over the world. Let me show you a miracle. You can't take Italians. You can't take Greeks. You can't take Africans. Spread them all over the world. Give them a couple, three generations. You won't tell the difference. You take a Jew. He's going to be a Jew in every part of the world. He's going to have his own synagogue. And go on like that, a Jew, why? He's marked. God has his hand upon him. Nobody can touch that guy. And God says, I'll bring you back to myself. I'll bring you back to myself, why? There's a period of time for restoration back Israel to the homeland. And then God takes over from there. So God speaking here, we can see again in Psalm 106, God said this. The people cry, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Then he goes to the fathers. The people look at it. And they ask, the children ask him, how come our daddy will do something like that? That's insanity. Do you know we do many things sometimes that we should be locked up? We should be locked up. Sometimes in our temper, in our nervousness, bang, 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 break everything up. We should be locked up. And listen to what the psalmist said, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They went on. God was with them. God delivered them. God provided for them. What about us today? God gave us a place to worship. God gave us brothers and sisters to pray. I don't say this to flatter anybody, but let me tell you this. How many of us have praises? Thank you, Brother Lord, for giving us Brother Gordon to lead the songs. I don't say this for Gordon. Gordon knows that. How many have done that? Oh, take it for granted. Gordon's going to lead the songs. Paul is going to play the organ. We understand nothing. We're so selfish anymore. Oh, Gordon's going to pick up his guitar. Craig is going to come over. So, who cares for Gordon? Who cares for Craig? Who cares for anybody else? Instead of stopping for a minute, says, Lord, you give us a brother to sing, a sister to sing, an instrument to play, a place to worship. Look outside of that door. How many times I see nights? 11 o'clock or something? Brother Derman will come in, has a key, opens the door, a place to cry and scream, right? Nobody bothers you. God protects us. And we have so much to be thankful, but we don't understand what God has done. I mean, to me, I have to be honest. If I had to start again putting this building up, I'll never do it. I'm scared to death. I'll go backwards. I'll never do it. How it's done, I don't know. But it was done. We start from scratch, did we? You know, I remember, never forget, it's round lights. Gordon was here helping me cutting. I never forget these things. Why? Because when God does something, He does it. Probably He got a few people that He says, I want to protect these people. I want to get them out of the world. I want them to get in a place that they can go in and pray without worrying somebody's going to steal their battery outside. That's not a joke. It's real life, isn't it? You know, we come, take things for granted. We understand nothing. The only thing we know, oh, I want to church. Stop for a minute and say, Lord, do I understand what you're really doing, what's going on? But how can I do that? The first thing I have to do is to empty myself. My ways, my selfishness, things that I do, things that I believe, and wait on the Lord and have respect for His house. Yes, Lord, bless me, please. Psalms are deep. They're not just singing only. It's the Word of God. And God continues here in His Word. He says this, our fathers understood not His wonders in Egypt. They remember not the multitudes of mercies. Oh, I got saved 15 years ago. We don't remember the mercies of God. We remember nothing. I remember when the Lord dealt with Brother Brian. And I said, Brother, keep on going. You know, he said, I got to finish my school. I said, anything I can do, Brian, I'll do it for you. Keep on going with the Lord. Why? The Lord was first. And we keep on going. But who cannot forget these things, what God has done for us? You cannot forget what God put you out from. God delivered you, right? God deliver you from all these things. He says, oh, who cares? Oh, I'm okay. You're okay because somebody paid the price and pulled you out of there. And we turn our back and forget everything. Forget it. Let's be thankful. That's why the first five verses there exhorts to give thanks. And now he goes to transgressions and says, we really understand what they were doing. What do you mean, Brother David? They were singing songs without knowing what they mean. They always sing songs, Amazing Grace, Amazing Grace. That's it. So God continues on His Word, and He brings this up. Listen to this. Here the Red Sea. You know? And ready to cross, the enemy was there. How many times the enemy was after you? At your home, at your job, at your family. How many times you were in trouble? And you came here with prayer requests and God answered the prayer, right? And what do? The same thing. Thank you, Lord. Beat the tambourine a little bit. Forget it tomorrow. But there must be an experience in us. What are you saying, Brother Dave? I'm saying here we've got to move one step closer to Him, to give praise to Him and say, Lord, from my heart, You have done so much for me. You have done, I was a sinner, You saved me. I was a sinner, You helped me, You guide me, Lord. You brought me out of the mess. How this is going to be done? I don't know, God did it. That's all I know. Now, these memories start coming up now. Here at the Red Sea, you standing there, I deliver you, I did all these miracles, nobody can stand against you. And what God was doing? Sending Moses over to Pharaoh, and before Moses gets there, God was hardening the heart of Pharaoh to prove who he is. How do you like to be Moses? Probably you scratch your head and say, Lord, are we playing games here? What's going on? You send me there and you go before me. And I can't even talk to that man. But God wants to show His power, His love to Israel. That He's there. You see, I had a trial. God answered it. How come? Because God is God. The same God at the time that delivered the Jewish people out of Egypt is delivering you at the job, at the home, at every place you go, protects you from the enemy all around you. These people are all over around you. You see people moving? Have two arms, two legs, two eyes. Don't look like that. Look at them as spirits. If you look at my spirit, then you thank the Lord. Because these people sometimes are ready to eat you up with no reason at all. That's what they try to do. So God now, in closing, He said this. He says that He might make His mighty power. Nevertheless, He says, He saved them for His name's sake. When we come back, next service, the Lord's willing, I'd like to get the name's sake. Because even the time that Moses, God said, Moses, these people are stiff necks. They are no good, Moses. And Moses goes to God and he says, God, if you destroy them at one time, what the rest of the nation are going to say that you couldn't take them through? And God stopped His wrath. But He says, they're going to go right to the end, to the promised land. And they will never cross. They don't have the faith to do it. I'm training them. They don't want to be trained. I give them mercies. They don't even know. I do this. They understand it not. I do that. They take everything for granted. Let's don't be like Israel. Let's don't wait until the rapture comes and say, what happened? I missed it. Just thank the Lord. Who can have an excuse today? You got tapes. You got books. You got a place to worship. You got a kid to come and cry alone if you have a family. Nothing bothers you. God gave us so much. God gave to, and I know it's Thanksgiving, but God gave to Israel so much. And when Moses cries for His name's sake, He says, Lord, don't destroy them because what they are going to say, the rest of the nations, God didn't destroy them. But you know what? He said, they will not cross the land. That's it. They can't make it the way they are going. That's why we better get ourselves out and say, Lord, I want to make it. If one person makes it, it has to be me. That's what I want. And how this can be done? Cleansing of self. Surrender to God. Moving to the direction where God is moving. You see everything is the world and so on. You know, people think the economy is good. It can collapse overnight. No. Look at the deficit of the credit cards. Trillions. People buying cannot pay. While bankruptcy, buy more. People don't know what they're doing. The condition that we are, really, don't look at the stock market. Stock market will go up before it fails. That's the formula for that. I had an experience in closing. I'll tell you this. We saw the trailer that we used to live down there. So all of a sudden, we get some papers from the courthouse. They sent out the man filed bankruptcy. But we start reading that he has the right to keep the house. He owed, I think, $7,000 to doctors, this and that. So give us an address to go there. And look, there, Sears was there and different department stores. They bought stuff. You know how the people will buy, and they don't care how they're going to pay. So Sears was there, and the judge took more than 2 minutes. He says, approved, can keep the place to stay, maintain the payments like you do. So after they filed bankruptcy, we talked to the wife and the husband there. So they said, what are you going to do? I said, nothing, you know, just keep on make the payments and go on from there. So a lady walks and talks to them. So the police says, who is this lady? She says, she's from Sears and told us to ignore the bankruptcy. You'll give us a new card and don't worry about it. We're bankrupt. You can buy again as much as you want to. You think of that. You think about insanity that we're at. You know, here's the judge wasting his time. The guy makes the bills. He doesn't want to pay. And you know who pays? You and I. Tax deductible at the end. Loss. Loss, and you and I pay for this bankruptcy. We are in a time that the world doesn't even know which direction they are going. Totally. But let's look with spiritual eyes. Say, Lord, you have done so much for me. You know, stop for a minute. That's what Moses had to do in the Red Sea. Stand still. You know, people cannot stand still. To this, and the grace seems to calm down now. Just calm down. Calm down. I'm going to talk about it. Calm down. Well, go. What about this? And but he said that. He said, just stop for a minute. Stop for a minute. Wait on the Lord. Say, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Where is the way out? Or am I supposed to stay in that mess? You help me. I love the Word of God, don't you? There's so much in it. Don't justify anything. Lord, if you feel it's a penalty, I'm sorry. Whatever it takes for me to learn, please, Lord, do whatever you want out of me. And I love you. Whatever it is, I love you. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing at the cross, when I first saw the light. I'd like to ask Brother Derman to close in a word of prayer. At the cross, at the cross. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart roll away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Glory. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Hallelujah. Love you.
My God, my Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. May be dismissed in the name of Jesus Christ. Have a great day tomorrow with your loved ones. And be a shining light, be a salt to this generation. God bless you.